Please be seated. On behalf of the Martin and the Reeder families, I want to thank you for honoring the memory of their beloved Amy by your presence here this afternoon. This is a Christian memorial service directed to our great and gracious triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and conducted in loving memory of Rebecca Amy Reeder Martin, a choice disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amy was born into the church militant on March 24, 1960, and passed into the church triumphant on January the 2nd of this year. She was 59 years old. Let us worship Almighty God by carefully attending to the inspired words of the 121st Psalm. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Please take your hymn books and turn to hymn number 55, To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
Almighty God, we acknowledge you as the Lord of heaven and earth, the God who made the world and everything in it. You are not served by our human hands as if you needed anything. Rather, you give to all men life and breath and all things. From one man you made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And you determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. For in you we live and move and have our being. O Lord, we have gathered together in the light of your presence and with the hope of your blessing. Send your Spirit now to comfort us and to console us with the promises of your word. Hold out to us in this hour the promises of your gospel, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus our Lord. We worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God forever. Amen. Please be seated. Hear now several passages from God's Word, beginning with Psalm 23, the Shepherd's Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And from Romans chapter 8, the concluding verses of that chapter, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then from the resurrection chapter, the concluding verses of 1 Corinthians 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then from the Gospel of John, Jesus has announced that to his disciples that he is leaving, and they are very disturbed by this announcement. And Jesus says, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Some of you know that our pastor, Terry Johnson, is teaching in China, and he's torn, desiring to be here on this occasion, but also desiring to encourage the Chinese Christians that are in need of such encouragement in these days. But I have the next best thing. Terry has written a tribute that I would like to read. 21 years ago, Amy came into my office with an agenda. She was dressed for business, equipped with a clipboard, and well organized. She launched into a review of our Sunday school, its strengths and weaknesses. She described what we needed to do to improve, including finding a person to oversee the children's ministry. Then came the punchline, I'm that person. Frankie Daniel tells the story about an incident at the end of one of his middle school football games. Time out had been called. The ball was on the 1 yard line with seconds remaining. Time for one play and one only. As the team huddled up, one of the boys was looking at Frankie, pointing at himself as if to say, give the ball to me. Frankie thought to himself, all right then, if he's eager for the responsibility that goes with winning or losing the game, I'll give it to him. He scored and they won. Amy wanted the ball. I was impressed. It's yours, I said. For 21 years, she carried the ball. Cohort after cohort of our children have loved Miss Amy and been loved by her. She loved on them as she made the rounds on Sunday mornings. They recited their catechisms to her. She organized their Sunday school program. No one has been more beloved in our church than Amy. Amy was the fun one on our church staff, ever colorful, ever spirited. On a weekly basis at Tuesday morning staff meetings, she brought me to tears, doubled over with laughter. Our procedure is to go around the room, each staff member providing updates. When Amy had her turn, heaven help the person that interrupted her. Her glare could melt steel. If anyone else was getting too much attention or too much praise, not that we ever had an abundance of that, she would protest. Okay, we've heard enough about him. Periodically, she would show up wearing her tiara, letting us all know that she was queen, just in case anyone forgot. Then I announced that I would be away on a when I announced that I would be away on a given Sunday, she would volunteer to fill the pulpit. I have a thing or two to say, she would declare. On at least one occasion, I found her name initialed into the preaching schedule. Whenever I contradicted her about something, she would mumble, "I'm going to hate him until 6 o'clock tonight." I leaned heavily on Amy over the years. She always had her finger on the pulse of the church. She would come to me with insight into what was happening behind the scenes about which I needed to be aware. She was loyal. Her concerns were not only for her area of responsibility, but for the whole life and health of the church. Her sense of the needs of the church led her to initiating the pancake breakfast and egg hunt. I insisted that it not be called an Easter egg hunt, which earned me an Amy glare and roll of her eyes. She also instigated the fall family night. I insisted it not be called a Halloween event, earning another glare and roll of her eyes. I am indebted to her for helping keep the good ship IPC upright for the past 3 decades. I must also say that Amy was not just a co-worker. She was a friend. She loved my children as if they were her own. She regularly reached out to Emily, understanding what can often be a lonely life for the pastor's wife. Pastors don't have close friends, deferring intimate friendships in the congregation in favor of the impartial care for all the members of the church. Yet I must admit, the Martins have been among our closest friends. Our children grew up together. Charlie and Amy always took an interest in the athletic careers of our children. We didn't get together often, but when we did, it was rich. The passing of Amy is a blow to our church. Ordinarily, we might have expected to have her around for a few more decades. The will of God was otherwise, and we trust His providence. Nevertheless, we will miss her profoundly. Amy's gradual decline began with her diagnosis in March and provided time for her to reflect on her life. Repeatedly, she lamented to us that she had squandered her life. She insisted that she had not been a good Christian. Time had been wasted, opportunities lost. She had many regrets. She wanted to live her life over again. Ponder this. These are the end-of-life reflections of one who was utterly devoted to Christ and His church. She was a part-time employee as director of the Children's Sunday School, yet her service went far beyond her official duties. She and Charlie were involved in every aspect of the life of the church, pitching in here and there and everywhere as needed. By any standard of comparison, Amy was among the most committed and most used of disciples. Yet upon reflection, her service seemed to her as nothing as compared to what might have been and should have been. There's a lesson in this for us. Life is brief and uncertain. Like the grass of the field, we are here one moment and then we are gone. Psalm 90, verses 5 and 6. O Lord, David cries, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. When our life draws to a close, our souls will be comforted by the beauty of our house. Excuse me. When our life draws to a close, our souls will not be comforted by the beauty of our house, the extent of our wardrobe, the number and newness of our cars, and the size of our bank accounts. We will instead be asking ourselves, did my life count? Did I make a difference? Did I do anything that is lasting and eternal? Or did I squander my life, consuming all my time with the temporal, the petty, and the unworthy? Nothing impressed me more of the depth of Amy's love for Christ than her end of life laments. Amy's end of life laments were misplaced. She did make a lasting contribution, made lasting contributions to God's eternal kingdom. Her impact is felt throughout our congregation, her family, and beyond. And may the same be true for each of us. Please take your hymn books again. Turn to 642, Be Thou My Vision. seated. Let me introduce myself. It's there in the worship folder. I'm Harry Reeder. I pastor at Briarwood Presbyterian Church, a sister church, and I would be remiss if I didn't take this occasion to give greetings to you from your sister church in Birmingham and a cordial invitation to come and visit us. It's a great city, a great place. I know you live in a great place, but ours is better. And in fact, we invite you there, and after you've been to Birmingham, it won't be a culture shock when you get to heaven. So you just come visit us anytime. I've had the privilege to preach here on numerous occasions. I'm grateful to be here with Ron. I certainly miss Terry, and so glad that Terry was able to get this, as I mentioned to Ron. That had to be read at all cost, and I'll cut back a little bit of what I was going to say because I know it was a heartfelt statement from a pastor with great insights, and I am grateful for your pastor and your pastoral staff, your elders, and your church. It's a privilege to serve the Lord with you, and it's been a great joy. In fact, I'll mention in just a minute how I at least had a little piece of Charlie and Amy and then Conrad and Rebecca being here at IPC, and just take a moment to do that. But the biggest thing I want to do as a brother of Amy, I want to thank you for the extraordinary love that you have shown to her, certainly with great affluence of intention in these last 8 to 10 months. It's just been extraordinary, your care for her, your ministry to her. And as I said, people don't become something that they're not in times of crisis. Times of crisis reveals who you are. And so it was with Amy in this time of crisis, this time of testing. And so it was with you. The reason you loved her so well in these last months is because you loved her so well throughout these decades that she and Charlie have been here serving along with their children. And now they have they have their grandchild as well. So I'm grateful for all of that. And so I want to thank you. In fact, it was probably seen last night. I understand, I don't know if this is accurate or not, that's the first receiving in the chapel area. And I knew Amy would find a way to do something that nobody else had done. And it was a pretty well set the bar. As we were there for well over 3 hours, extending handshakes and greeting and being loved so well by so many that came through. And I was talking to some of the family, both the Martin and Reeder side of the family afterwards, as we were all remarking about the extraordinary turnout, and which was just a further overflow of what Charlie and Amy have been experiencing in these last months. And so this was the remark that I made, and I thought I would just mention it to you because I want to encourage you as a congregation. Amy's challenge and crisis will not be your last if Jesus tarries. You've got more to come, and some of you may be the recipients of it in the future as well. So here was just some observations that I would share with you in watching over these past months, and that would be foundational to what I want to share with you briefly and from the Word of God. That's this. What you saw last night and what you've seen is this. When you love the Lord, when you love the Lord, when you love the Lord, then the Lord delights in loving you through His people. I've seen it time and time again. When you love the Lord, the same Spirit of God that worked in your heart through God's Word so that you love the Lord and the love of Christ is compelling you, then back to you will come from the Church of Jesus Christ and the people of the Lord, God's love back toward you. When my mother went to be with the Lord, we were going to have this service on Tuesday. I got in the car on Saturday. She had died on Friday to go to be with Jesus. I drove back to Birmingham,
I was there for Sunday and preached, and one of the ladies, dear saints, said to me, "Pastor, we admire your sense of duty to drive back to be here for the worship service and to preach, but you should have just stayed there." And I said, no, you've got this wrong. I didn't drive back here to preach as a sense of duty. When I lost my mother, there was no place I'd rather be than to be with God's people, to have their love toward me, even as they filled in those big holes. And that's what we were able to see, and that's what's been seen. Amy loved the Lord, and now the Lord loved her back through you. The second thing that you see is that God's church is a family. Now, God's church is multifaceted. We're an army. We're the body of Christ. We're called a temple, the dwelling places of the Lord. They're multifaceted word pictures of what the church is. But a dominant one, to say the least, is that the church is family. And when crisis comes to a family, family shows up. Real family shows up. And that's what we experience. That we experience the fact that a real family of God's people. I know you don't realize that. Well, maybe you do realize, because you've got a pastor that, my guess is, emphasizes this. But you know, all of those times when you come here Lord's Day after Lord's Day, and that scintillating moment that you hear each Lord's Day, "Come, let us worship the Lord." As the family of God is drawn together to sing the praises, hear the word, encourage one another, sit at table fellowship and the Lord's Supper together. All of those things that you build week after week and Lord's Day after Lord's Day, it's from that that moments like last night come. You don't become something that you're not. A family has been bonded and unified around the rhythms of God's word at work in their life. And that's glorious to see. And that again shows me you've been pastored well and discipled well. And so that's what happens. And what was interesting is everybody's coming through, and all of these remarks were being made to us. Well, I would thank them for coming, they'd say, "Oh, well, I had to come. Let me tell you, when I was..." And then came Miss Amy was there. "When I was..." I had to be here tonight because Miss Amy was there then. That gives me a third observation. When you serve the Lord in His church, when you serve the Lord in His church, and you use your spiritual gifts with a servant's heart and a sacrificial spirit, imperfect as we all are, including Amy, and with all of those imperfections and that unevenness in our life of growing in grace, when you serve the Lord with intention, using your spiritual gifts in a servant's heart and a sacrificial spirit, then that begins to leave a legacy. And that's what I was hearing last night. How many, would you please, let me introduce you to my children. Miss Amy taught them the catechism and about Jesus. And child after child, can I just tell you what it meant for me when I learned God's word from Miss Amy? In fact, I was getting this constant refrain last night. I want to tell you what, I had to be here. Let me tell you what Miss Amy did for me. That Amy had a caring heart. Again, I'm not trying to give you any notion that a brother thinks his sister was perfect. I've got stories for you. They will not be said today, but I've got stories for you. But it was abundantly obvious that Amy had been saved by God's grace, and it had begun to shine through. And when she saw that need or that person, she wanted to help. She cared deeply. She loved God's word. I'm sitting here with the Bible. I'm so grateful to be in this Bible that I was able to find a number of Bibles. This is the one that Charlie gave her not long after they came to this church. And it's directly connected to their 6th anniversary. And so he gave her that. And just go through and read the notes. Conrad, Rebecca, you've got to do that. And then with your children and children's children, you got to just see. And of course, I noticed immediately she had mother's handwriting. And then secondly, the notes of insight. Let me give you one. A Christian family. I loved this when I saw it. A Christian family intentionally desires to be a beacon and light of the gospel to other Christian families. That's why that she hoped and prayed and labored for in her own family, she didn't want it to stop there. She wanted it to go into your family. One avenue was that children's ministry. Another avenue is the catechism teaching. Another avenue are fun times to bring God's family together, like family fun nights and all of those things. She loved God's word. She loved God's church. In other words, she loved the Lord, so she loved what the Lord loved. The Lord loves his word. The Lord loves his church. The Lord loves the lost. The Lord loves his people. The Lord loves worship. And so she loved all of those things. And she cared deeply about your children, and she cared deeply about your families. I don't think that happened out of accident, because she came from a family that cared deeply about family. Our family was kind of unique. My dad and mom really almost had two families. In fact, we had a lot of things working against us, being as close as we are. Of course, I'm the oldest and obviously the best looking in the family. And I am the oldest, and then I have these three absolutely astonishing, gifted, talented and beautiful sisters. And I mean that. I really do mean that. In fact, I spent most of my junior high and high school years making sure they were protected. And in fact, Charlie, you may have not had her as a wife if it hadn't been for me, buddy. I'm telling you. I'll give you the names of the guys I ran off. And they blame me on that. But for many, I love my sisters. But we almost had two families because my sister, Vicky, who went to be with the Lord these last couple of years, and I were born when I actually saw my dad play in the Shrine Bowl, in the Piedmont Bowl, in high school football. In fact, I may have gone through adolescence before my dad. I'm not sure. Then came Vicky, and then it was just us four. And then 12 years later, there's Amy. And then the next year, there's Beth. And it was almost like two separate families, but they didn't become two separate families. We became one because the strength of what our parents brought to family and what it meant to be family, as well as extended family and the church family. Listen, when you grew up in our home, there were some things that just, and this was, our mother was an extraordinary woman. Proverbs 31, I think, was written. And Proverbs 31 is the most intimidating passage, if I was a woman, that it has to be in the Word of God. But she's the closest I've ever seen to it. And she was an astonishing woman who loved her children and always wanted them to have what they needed to have. So there were certain things that we knew were going to be in our family. One was church. Amy, Beth, Vicky and I were all saved out of a drug problem. Our parents drug us to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. I can't imagine waking up on a Sunday morning and wondering, are we going to church today? Nor can I imagine Daddy turning to one of us or Mother turning to one of us and saying to us, where do y'all think we ought to go to church? Those categories did not exist. We were headed to church, and they knew which one, and amazingly, we all became parts of churches like that and sought them out later. And so that's where they would direct us. It was going to be church, and not only that, the other thing that for sure that you were going to be engaged in was work. You were going to work. I remember when I was 14, my mother said, all right, you can get a Social Security number, now go punch a clock somewhere. And so we were taught to work right from the very beginning. So there was work and there was family, and that's what brought all of us begin to, we were all raised that way. And also my mother just wanted everybody had to have everything done equally. And Charlie, that's why you got, providentially, that's why you got Amy. When Beth graduated from high school, somehow Fort Mill High School came up with a reduced rate to take a cruise, and they went on a cruise. And as they went on the cruise, Mother said, you can't go. Beth said, why? Well, Amy graduated last year, and she didn't get a cruise, so you don't get a cruise. And then came the discussion, well, what about if I work it out for Amy to go with me? Which she did. And on that cruise, there was a young man from Savannah Day School, right? On the cruise. And she saw him. Three other Tiga K girls saw him as well. Charlie had his pick of the litter. What he didn't know, he was not the predator. He was the prey. That's what he did not know. And because I know one that was in that litter. And after they got back, came a phone call. Hi, this is Charlie Martin. I enjoyed meeting you on the cruise. I'm going to be up in Charlotte, and there's a concert. Could I take you to it? Sure. People from Savannah always just ride up to Charlotte. I'll be there to take you to a concert. Is that all right? And she demurred a little bit and, you know, did what she ought to do. And then finally she said yes. And then she turned to her sister Beth after she hung up the phone. Got him. And so she began to build a family like that. And then she came to Savannah. She met the Martin family to be a part of that family. And then loved that family. Then begin to establish her and Charlie together, their own family. A lot of tests along the way. And then came this big one. And she called me and said, Harry, I got the results and it's not what we were expecting or wanting. And I got a big challenge ahead of me. So we began to go through that test together. And you began to surround her. And we began to talk about tests. And I said to her, I said, you know, Amy, the one great thing about it, there's a couple of great things about a test, but when you get a test from the Lord, we're in a broken world, you're all going to get it. When you get a test from the Lord, it becomes the opportunity for a testimony. The test becomes the occasion for a testimony. If you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. When God brings tests, allows tests, whatever my God ordains is right. When God sends them into our life, allows them into our life, superintends them in our life. He tells us that nothing has overtaken you, that he has not prepared a way of escape. And he also tells you that he'll be with you. Tests from the Lord always serve, their blessings and they're a testimony because they serve three purposes. Number one, a test tells you what you know. In these last 10 months, Amy found out what she knew about Jesus, what she knew about God's Word. A test tells you what you know. Secondly, a test tells you what you don't know. Do you remember the algebra test? Your algebra teacher did not hate you. The test was there to tell you what you know, tell you what you don't know, and thirdly, to tell you what you need to know. And Amy began to learn lessons in those moments. It was then, just a couple of months ago, we shared this together. And I wanted to share it and just read it with you. Therefore, do not lose heart. But though our outer man, referring to this body, is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen, they're temporal. But the things which are not seen, they are eternal. We know that this earthly tent, which is our house, is being torn down. And we also know we have a building from God, a house not made with hands. It is eternal in the heavens. Indeed, in this house we groan. And my, how she groaned these last 10 months. In this house we groan, longing to be clothed with with the dwelling from heaven that God is preparing for us. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, we shall not be found unclothed. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that which is mortal may be swallowed up in life. Now he who prepared us for this purpose is God, and he has given us his Spirit as a pledge. Now, do you understand what he's saying? We're in a body that's groaning, yet we don't want to lay it aside because we long to be clothed. So by faith, we anticipate that body which he is preparing for a new heavens and a new earth. He's already given us a new record. He's already given us a new spirit. He's already given us a new heart. He is giving us a new life. And he is preparing for us a new body for a new heavens and a new earth. And so we anticipate that. Therefore, this is what I ask to be remembered about Amy. Therefore, we are always of good courage, knowing that while we're at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. But we are of good courage, I say. And we would rather not be absent from the body. And we would rather to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, we want to please him. For we must all, y'all do know this, if Jesus does not come back first, there will be a service like this, and you'll be the guest of honor. And no preacher can preach you into heaven on that day. No preacher can get you by that judgment seat. It is appointed unto men once to die. Amy's appointment was on that Thursday at 5:13. Then the judgment. But as believers in that judgment, we have no fear. Why? Because we have the Lord. And because we have the Lord, we have him, and he has us. Two Sundays ago, I called. Beth was here with Amy and Charlie and Rebecca and Jimmy. And I called and I said, if possible, I want Amy to listen to today's sermon. And that would normally be her habit whenever she could do so, is with the strength, as she, of course, would tune in with y'all during your worship service. And we're on Central Standard Time, so then she could tune in us after Terry was through and preaching. And then she would listen with us over at Briarwood. I wanted her to listen because it was the last Sunday, my last sermon on Christ Sunday of Advent, and I was preaching on Simeon. None of us know our appointed time to meet the Lord, but we have one. Simeon did not know his time, but he knew when his time would not be. For the Lord had told him, "You shall not die until you have seen the Savior." And then he saw it. And then he began to see. Now that I've held him in my arms, my life can come to an end. For he is my peace. Now I'm ready. Amy was ready. Not wanting to be unclothed, but wanting that eternal body and wanting her Savior. Ready. You see, you know, like last night, we're all struggling for words, aren't we? We're struggling for words. Like I'm saying, well, I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry you've lost your loved one. And I know what we're trying to say, so I'm not being critical. But actually, I didn't lose Amy. I know right where she is. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. I know right where she is because of what you just heard read from Romans 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died. Yes, rather, who is raised, who's at the right hand of the Father, who even now intercedes for us. He was bringing her home. And what shall separate us from the love of God in Christ? So tribulation or death or peril or sword? No. I am convinced that in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Not through her catechism teaching. Not through her attendance to worship. Not through her touching the lives of others. Those were the evidences of her salvation, not the reason for it. Those were the footprints of the Spirit of God and the grace of God in her life. And I will do what I know she would want me to do, and I want to do. Any footprints of God's grace in your life, so that a preacher can just simply tell people, here is the Savior, and here are the evidences. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. I'm reminded of what D.L. Moody said at a moment like this. He said, you are going to hear soon. He was in his death struggle. And he said, you will hear soon when you read the paper, my obituary, and it will say that I'm dead. The day you read that, don't believe it. On the day you read that I am dead, I will never be more alive than on that day. Even though he dies, yet shall we live. That's going to be the biggest decision you make in your life. It's not school, it's not job, it's not even husband or wife. What do you do with Jesus? Do not give me the drivel. He's a good teacher and I like some of the things. Listen, he claimed to be Lord, and if he's not, then what is he? That's the biggest decision you'll ever make in your life. I'm so grateful that Amy knew her Savior. And she desperately and longingly desired to honor him. I went by on Thursday thinking I was going to have a day to get down here. I went by while I was in Charlotte, the house where Amy was born. I took the picture because I wanted to bring it to her. And then I took a picture of the house we were all raised in. I took that picture and I purposely took a picture of the side of that house where we would watch television downstairs and where me and my three sisters would do our best to try to talk Dad into Mom into letting us on Friday nights stay up and watch The Late Show. Periodically, we would succeed. None of the four of us ever made it to the end. We would always fall asleep in that room. But I never woke up in that room. The next morning, I always woke up in my bed. You see, my dad knew what was going to happen. So he would come downstairs and he'd pick us up when we had fallen asleep. Don't you love the way Paul calls the death of a believer sleep? This isn't some exotic soul sleep. What he's saying is the death of a believer. Do you hear what David says? He says this. I've got to tell you. We quote it all the time. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the what? Shadow of death. If you're out here on Oglethorpe and a truck pulls up and the shadow hits your car, are you okay? Yeah. A little darkness, but you're okay. What if that truck hits you? You see, when we die as believers, death doesn't hit us. Death, where is your sting? Christ is the victor. We go through the shadow. 5:13, closed eyes. Now with Jesus. That's where she awoke. The Father came and brought her home. You see, most of us sitting here think, well, Amy left the land of the living and went to the land of the dying. Wrong. Amy left the land of the dying, and she's in the land of the living. She's home. We're not. Is that your home? I hope and pray it is. You want to talk to me about it? I would delight to talk to you about it. And I would love to be able to tell you, you can know. Here's what Jesus says. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For to me, to live is Christ. To die, that's gain. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the moments to be together. I again thank you and give you praise for the legacy of grace that you worked in Amy's life, its overflow into her own family, its overflow from that family to other families, and here into the family of God at IPC and beyond, and I give you praise for that. I give you the praise. I thank you for her. I thank you for giving her a husband who loved her, children who loved her. I thank you for all of that, but most of all, I thank you that you have loved her with a relentless love. And you have loved her so gloriously that you have brought her to yourself. So we give you praise. Our Savior so declared, Father, all whom you've given me, I lose not one, but I'll raise them up on the last day. I go away to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. Thank you, Father. Another one has been brought home. We praise your name for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please take your hymnals and join us as we sing this glorious hymn, How Great Thou Art, number 44. So to the readers, it's been a great joy to serve the Lord with Amy. Let's rejoice in her homecoming. To the Martins, Mythe, how you have so loved her. And praise the Lord for the great impact that y'all have enjoyed together. And Charlie, praise the Lord for the home that he has allowed you to build as a beacon and a light of the gospel to bless other families. And we give praise to our God for all of his good gifts to us. Folks, it's a tough thing. Grief is real for believers. We don't have to hide it. We can meet it. Here's what Paul says. We grieve, but yet not as those without hope. Maybe you could think of it this way. We have an abundance of memories of Amy that you can wrap your heart around. Our grief is we don't have Amy to wrap our arms around. But one day we will, if you know Christ and be united with him, the Lord, with her, and those who have loved him. It is the Lord who gives life. It is the Lord who takes away life. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who is our life, now and forevermore, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God's people said...